3, 2, 1. What is going
What
on,
is
Jobber
going on?
Nation? Welcome back to another episode of Jobber Club Podcast. As always, I'm Vogel, and joined with me, like always, is the face who runs the place, Tyler Face. What is going on, Face?
What's up, homie? Feels like forever since we just talked.
What, you mean that two-hour show we did wasn't
Dude,
enough?
Let's just say, holy shit, that was a lot.
Yeah, that was
a lot.
That was a lot
coming back to. So,
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a content-filled episode. We had a lot of things that we needed to talk about and touch base on. And felt like, we didn't really have a time limit going into that show of how long it was going to be. We just know we had to talk about a lot of stuff. All right. So, we are coming off of a AEW pay-per-view event this week, having AEW's Revolution this past Sunday. That meant the end of an era, as it was Sting's retirement match, and it was the main event at AEW Revolution. We'll touch a little bit more on that a little later on in the show, but we are kicking off this episode with last Friday's SmackDown. Now, I think we just talked about this going into the show, that that WWE is running a lot of promos and stuff. I mean, I know it's WrestleMania season. I know people have to call somebody out to set up a match to get their WrestleMania moment and all that. But Friday night also kicked off with a promo yet again.
These promos are getting out of hand. I feel like they're doing way too much. The words in my head, they're doing too much too quick.
Yeah, but yeah, and it's just like, I think this promo was kind of unnecessary, but then again, it set up for the storyline to be even more complex between Cody and Roman, and now introducing The Rock for the second straight week. The Rock came out after the Bloodline was cutting a promo and acknowledged Roman Reigns as his tribal chief.
But so I've noticed little bits and pieces of different when The Rock comes out, a heel or a baby face. There's different colors in his music and all of the
different symbols and all that. Yes, definitely. And even just the way he walks too, his demeanor when he gets to the stage, to the ring, when he's walking down the ramp, it all changes. And then. Mm-hmm. At the end of the promo, we see them doing their famous point to the sky gesture with the index finger.
But he keeps doing this.
He keeps doing that.
Me off.
And then he closes it after a while.
I keep thinking either Roman Reigns or The Rock, one of them are going to turn on each other. And you already see this. You can tell that it's going to happen.
Well,
I'm thinking Rock's going to turn. I'm going to be
but
honest.
Did you
now, if he does, I'm sorry. Hold on. Something just happened. Now, if he does, I'm gonna be kind of happy because I'm gonna want to see that.
Yeah, exactly. And but it's just like, if you've noticed too, like I mentioned last week's episode, something about The Rock possibly, turning on Roman during WrestleMania, but it's now added another element because. When Cody and Seth Rollins were out there, they were wanting, The Rock proposed a match of a tag team match.
I think that's stupid. That's
Roman
so stupid.
Reigns and with Roman Reigns and The Rock versus Cody and Seth freaking Rollins. But they added a stipulation. If Cody and Seth Rollins beat Roman Reigns and The Rock, then the Bloodline cannot interfere in Cody's match with Roman on WrestleMania Night 2. Now, this will be the main event for Night 1. They have confirmed that. But it's
I
just,
think somebody's going to interfere.
Wrinkle.
It's going to fuck something up, and it's just going to look like shit. Sorry.
If you've ever noticed, I don't know if you remember, but Roman was also, not Roman, but The Rock was also like, I'm going to do everything in my power so you don't win against Roman. So
there's going to be
I think it doesn't matter regardless. you know, if he wins or loses, I don't think it matters because something's going to happen.
Right.
Does
Absolutely. I
that
think
mean
there's.
that you could, we could possibly see it too, where it's almost like a Kofi Kingston situation? Remember Kofi Mania going into WrestleMania 35, how he had
Yeah.
all these chances and he had to go through all these hoops and do all this stuff.
Yeah, but then he got
I,
ripped. He got basically ripped the
well,
title off of by Brock, and it pissed me
but
off.
that was a few months later. I mean, going into WrestleMania, the story going into it, you know, it was like they made it like a big deal because he had to go through so much. Cody's in that same boat right now. Cody's
Yeah,
has
but
to go through so
honestly,
much.
I like Cody
But
Rhodes. I really do. I'm just fucking annoyed with it.
yeah, I am too. And
Like,
it's like,
and it can. If you have a good storyline like that, it should be lasting maybe a year, maybe a year and a half. This whole bullshit of Roman Reigns, the Bloodline, that was cool. That could have lasted maybe 2, 3 years max. Then you could have did something else. But dude, it's so fucking annoying anymore, and it's starting to get difficult for me to pay attention to it,
oh yeah,
because you
it
know my
is. It
brain,
definitely is.
ADD. Like, if I keep seeing the same thing fight like this over and over and over and over, I'm like, all right, I'm time to bail, time to go. Why? I'm always doing this while Raul is on the TV. Oh,
Yep.
cool.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I'm
Nope.
always doing that. Like, I'm just not even paying attention.
Yeah, and it is sad
And
because
it sucks because I'm not giving the information to the people that I need to be, but dude, it's hard to rope me in when it's the same storyline the last five, going on what, 6 years now?
I think it's going on five. I think this is the fifth year, I want to say. I can't remember. It's almost like COVID, you know, it's been around for so long and it's like
I was
it
literally,
all runs in.
side note, I was literally told COVID is a new flu by a doctor. That's it. I'm dead ass serious. Although
That's crazy.
it was really, really bad in the beginning, I was literally told it was just a new flu now.
Jeez.
I'm like, Jesus, that's cold,
That's
bro.
crazy. Yeah. Yep. But going back to the Rock and the Roman situation, just real quick, well, this is the last thing we'll touch on it before we move on from that. But do you think that, speaking of like all the hoops and things, that do you think Cody's gonna have to face one more hoop before he goes to WrestleMania, and that will be the stipulation of him versus either Solo or whoever of the Bloodline? And if he loses, then the Rock gets to be the guest referee.
They're gonna try to put The Rock in there somehow. I have no idea how,
Yeah.
but they're gonna move him in there.
I think that's the only logical thing you could possibly do is put him as a guest referee, make a stipulation in a match leading up to WrestleMania, maybe about 2 weeks before Mania, make the match on Friday Night SmackDown. And then you got another week to build it up into WrestleMania. Then you got the main event at WrestleMania for night one. So I think it could happen. It could happen. I just
I feel
this,
like it'll be stupid if it happens, but
yeah. But I think right now they are throwing so many curveballs at us for this Bloodline storyline going into Mania. It's getting more plot twist than an M. Night Shyamalan movie. I'm like, holy, I can't keep track of it. I can't keep track. I have to like go back, rewatch, like, hey, didn't this already happen already? Yeah, like 3 years ago.
right.
But we move on to the first match of the night, where we saw Tiffany Stratton continue her momentum from Elimination Chamber by picking up a win over Naomi. Fun fact for you, Naomi was the one that she eliminated in Elimination Chamber. So they had a little bit of a beef going into this match already as it was.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, I'm actually liking this little push that Tiffany Stratton's been getting since she's debuted on the main roster almost a month ago. She was former NXT Women's Champion at one point in time. And the crazy thing about it, she's just like Jade Cargill almost. She only has a few years experience. She started off at the Performance Center and worked her way up. And that takes a lot of skill just to do that. Usually you're on the independent scene for a quick minute. Doing your own thing, trying to build a name for yourself. Nope, she just got signed to the, you know, Performance Center and got trained there.
Right.
She's only had 3 years of experience, so from what I've seen listed, and it's not even a knock on her. I mean, I'm just liking the fact that they are giving her the confidence level.
They're learning how to build people up again.
Yeah, they are. They are. They definitely are.
It is taking time for them to learn, like, because they had during the Thunderdome. I'm sorry, guys, it
COVID
was
era.
fucking ridiculously
Yeah,
retarded.
the COVID era.
And I,
Monday Night
excuse
Raw.
me for you, it was stupid. I felt like it was stupid, but they had to figure out a way to do it, so they did it. But honestly, I did not like it.
It's like they're actually building up a superstar now, and it's like we are seeing what the future of the women's roster is gonna look like now. And I'm actually excited, but I hope that she's not the type of wrestler that's gonna get plagued with injuries early on in her career. Because it seems like as of recently, if you get injured or if you take some time off or whatever, it's hard for you to get back in rotation.
Oh
You're
yeah.
not on, the shows after that as much every week. You're not,
Because
being
it's gonna
promoted
it
as
takes
big.
time for you to get back, it takes
Not
time
just
for
that,
your body.
because they also put somebody else in their place and they're pushing that person and trying to get fans to like that person and they're catching on and it ends up with you being released ultimately. And it sucks. I just hope that it
Right.
doesn't happen with that. But I do believe that this is not the last time that we will see this matchup of Naomi and Tiffany Stratton. I think that we will probably get a pre-show maybe for WrestleMania night. Ooh, excuse me, WrestleMania night one, and have these two go at it again. I think that they had a decent amount of chemistry working together. I mean, even though Tiffany is one of the more greener wrestlers in WWE besides Jade Cargo, I do believe that they were able to put on a good match. But I am kind of disappointed, though, that the fact that they did have Naomi kind of lose because it's a double-edged sword because she came into WWE as the former TNA Knockouts champion. And now you're putting over a younger talent. I mean, yes, I love that she put her over, but it's like, why did you sign with WWE again if you're just gonna, be that person to put people over? You had a championship at TNA.
This is very true.
All right, so we are moving right along to the next match of the night, which we've seen the team of Dakota Kai and Bayley take on WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, the Kabuki Warriors, which is Asuka and Kairi Sane.
I don't like how they keep throwing good individual wrestlers into a fucking team. Stop fucking doing that. Just stop. Because they did it to Finn Balor and I see his fucking career fell. I'm sorry.
Preach
I love the demon.
it
The demon, Finn Balor, he did that shit so fucking well on his own. Bring him back. Bring the demon back. That dude, I love the face paint. I love how wild it was. It was ridiculously wild for me. I loved it. Bring it back and stop fucking up individual
wrestlers.
wrestlers. Leave them if they're
Because
doing good on their own, leave them on their own until like that storyline or that whatever the hell they're going through passes on or they're done with it. Leave them by themselves. But if after that, throw them with the tag team, whatever. But stop fucking good talent over.
Exactly. And it's like, I know Asuka and Kairi were a tag team once before when the tag team division actually started back up for the started up for the women's side. And I think it's nice that they got back together, but I don't think that, especially if you are in a faction like that, you don't really need a tag team because, I mean, yeah, you want to go after every championship, but I think it's kind of stupid though to have a tag team like that. I think it did answer a lot of questions going when this match took place because the biggest question going into WrestleMania is, will Dakota Kai still be right next to Bayley and by her side and in her corner? Well,
Bayley won
the
the
Royal
Women's
Rumble.
Royal Rumble, right? No, I don't think she. I don't. I think somebody's gonna ch try to flip on her.
Well, it happened because Dakota Kai jumped off the apron when Bayley was trying to make a much needed tag in, a tag out.
Yes, I seen that, and I'm sitting here like, yo, what the actual fuck? So somebody's gonna turn on her. I guarantee she's gonna win. I'm putting my money on Bayley because
She is. She is.
Bayley's gonna win.
Because, well, not just that, but if you've noticed, though, sometimes WWE puts it in our faces like, hey, this person's getting their ass kicked for 4 or 5 straight weeks, and we're going into Mania. What's going to happen?
You
They're going to
already
win.
know. You can clearly see that it's gonna happen that way.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to be shocked if she actually,
I'll be
if Io
pissed off
Sky
if they make her
retains.
lose.
Well, yeah,
Do
I
you?
mean,
Go
I
ahead.
was just thinking that, yeah, I'm gonna be really mad if Io Sky retains because it's so clear that Bayley has had, I mean, you gotta give it to Bayley too. I mean, she hasn't had a women's actual championship of note besides the t women's tag team championships in a while. And I think that she's ready for it. I think she had the heel heat, and now she's getting to the point where she's a face in her career for the first time in about
Right.
5 years. I think she
I
needs.
liked her as a I loved her as a heel though, dude. You can't
Yeah,
tell me
she's
she
good.
wasn't
She's
good as
good.
a heel.
Yeah,
She was
she
really good
was.
as a heel. Now they're trying to make her baby face, which I feel like they I'm gonna be honest, I feel like they pushed a little harder on that than they should.
But I think with, I think what it was though
She
was
reminds me of
go,
Edge
she,
because
yeah.
Edge was a decent baby face, but he was a hell of a fucking villain, you know? He was a hell of a like fuck you type of dude. That's why I
Dude.
always liked him.
All right, so moving forward to a little bit of like Mania prediction. I mean, I'm not saying
Sorry,
who's the
guys, that was
winner or
just my
whatever.
opinion.
Where do you think, so how some wrestlers they really go all out during Mania for like their in-ring gear, pyro, all that stuff? Do you see Bayley going back and bringing back the hugger gimmick with the
Nah,
wacky inflatable tube man
I can't.
for that for
I
one night
hated
only,
it.
for one night
I
only?
hated it. I hated that. That is actually something I did not really care for. I mean, it reminded me of Family Guy.
Yes, a wacky inflatable tube man, wacky inflatable tube man.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just a thought. I mean, maybe it will happen, who knows? But I mean, it would be kind of cool just to see it for one night only. But I was like a fan when she did take that baseball bat to the inflatable.
Can you hear me still?
Yo.
Hey Nick, can you hear me? Yo. I think it's still freezing up, bud. No, there it goes. You there? Can
Yeah,
you
it's
hear
my
me now?
Wi-Fi for a second. All right, here goes.
Okay.
And yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, we just ran into a little bit of technical difficulties. But yeah, we are moving on along to the next match of the night that was probably supposed to go a maximum of 3 minutes longer, but that's what happens when you have the opening promo with The Rock cutting into your match time.
I'm so tired of that
We
shit.
seen
Stop
Braun
cutting
Breaker.
people in the fucking, stop cutting into people's time on TV.
Well, because this match ended faster than Kofi and Brock Lesnar, because Braun Breaker speared Zion Quinn and as the opening bell rang and covered him for a three count. It only took Braun Breaker 5.5 seconds less to pin an opponent than it took Brock Lesnar to defeat Kofi Kingston for the WWE Championship. But yeah, that's all that there was for that match, really. I mean, I don't understand why that they are putting Braun Breaker up against jobbers. I mean, I think this kid's up is able to take on a mid-carder at least. But because I mean, he's a former NXT champion, and yet you're putting him against jobbers. I don't know if you wanted to boost his confidence on the main roster or what, but I think that's not the right way to do it, though, is putting him against jobbers.
You can't put him against lower people. You got to put him against, like, people that is, like, on the same level. There's different levels. Mm-hmm. Like, the newer people, okay, cool. Like, NXT, fantastic. I don't like that they keep taking main roster people and putting them on NXT. And that is what pisses me off. Because they've been up in the main roster. I understand, like, this is how my brain fucking works, guys. We're going to go off on a real quick tangent. I don't understand how they keep bringing main roster people down to NXT and then flipping it and putting NXT people up in main roster. Why not somehow collide both of them, like NXT versus Raw versus SmackDown or some shit like that?
Well, we did have that at Survivor Series before they started going into War Games.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
That was the last Survivor Series before they went to War Games was NXT versus SmackDown versus Raw, because that's what the WrestleMania was.
I forgot. I did forgot about that.
Was yeah, but I mean, I'd love to bring it back, and there was always talks of NXT being that third brand, as it was. So, I mean, it would make perfect sense to have that. Next match of the night, we've seen the return of Booyaka Booyaka 619 Booyaka Booyaka.
I actually seen that on my phone, and that's why I was trying to pull it up. I was like, oh, fuck, let me see. I think I fucked it up trying to re-see that, so. But it was pretty cool that he come back. I was pretty excited.
Yes, he came back to help Carlito pick up a win against Santos Escobar. The match was decent. I mean, it was a street fight match, so, you know, anything goes as is, so you know it's going to be hell. And when I think of a street fight match, I think of the pay-per-view event street fight matches of, like, recent years. And it makes me kind of cringe because it's like they don't do as well as they did back in the Attitude Era with these matches. But this match actually lived up to the street fight hype. I don't know if it was because it was a Monday night. Not Monday night, but it was a Friday night SmackDown, or like a weekly tape, weekly show, or what. But it kind of added like a little nice, you know, refresher, I guess. It was refreshing to see. And I think that it was even more cool that, you know, LWO came out to help Carlito when Angel Garza and Humberto came in and were trying to, you know, get that win for Santos.
Right. I'm listening to you. I'm processing stuff.
No, I had to clear my throat for a second. I got a little scratchy. But yeah, I think it made a good match, especially with Ray coming out. I think he got a real big pop. That felt, you know, that was a huge pop that he got when he returned. And to have him come up with the crutches and act like he was still, you know, hurt and injured.
That was funny. I like how they did that.
Lay ass into him.
That was like back in the day.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was like, it was a nice pop, you know. And I don't think that had any sound filter into it because, yeah, no one was expecting him to return like that. Do you think, though, I mean, since it is going into WrestleMania, we don't know what Ray will be doing at WrestleMania, and it's probably going to be helping LWO out, or, you know, in that situation, probably with something to do with Santos Escobar, maybe having a match against him. But do you think, since Ray is getting up there in age, do you think that next year WrestleMania 41 will be his last match against Dominic?
You're killing me.
I mean, it's a year away, but I don't know if Ray's got that much time left in him, you know, for performer wise, especially just coming off an injury too.
He's gonna do what he can to get that injury, to get himself back to 100, and then he's gonna go out on top. He's gonna go out on top.
Now we know that Ray will probably sign a Legends contract with WWE.
It
would be interesting to see him sign and become like a manager to Dom.
So he would come back as like a
like a Paul Heyman.
For
Dom. That'd be kind of cool.
That would be actually pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. Especially if Dom ends up turning on like Judgment Day and ends up joining like LWO or whatever. That'd be kind of cool.
Yes, but I also like how Dom was with Ray for a minute. That was cool as fuck. I would love to do that with my, say if we was in that would be cool as fuck. Do it with my dad? Fuck yeah. But
yeah.
Honestly, after that, he's done a really good job on his own. He's built. And I just seen a picture of him and Rhea that looked like Chavo. Was it Chavo? Am I wrong?
Eddie.
It
might have been Eddie, yeah.
Eddie in China?
Yeah, Eddie in China.
I was like, double take? I double took? I said, wait, what? It was pretty wild. How I was just.
It was. I think I seen the same picture, yeah. Yeah, I think I seen the same one.
I don't know if I sent that to you. I'm always.
Yeah, you might have. That or I seen that. Yeah, that or I just seen it floating by. In the main event of SmackDown, we seen Randy Orton pick up a win against Austin Theory. It is amazing what a year can do, year 2 years can do for a superstar after they've been pushed and booked by someone who's shouldn't probably be in charge of that area, such as Vince McMahon.
Thank God he's
crazy because now Austin Theory is being, he was a mid-card guy going after the U.S. Championship. Now he's with a guy that they called up from NXT trying to be what? The next Breezango with Tyler Breeze and Fandango? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do? Look at this. You went from winning Money in the Bank. And then your last actual meaningful match was at Mania when you defeated John Cena. And then after that, it's been all downhill for you.
Basically.
And it's like, yeah, I understand that, you know, that they were a, that, you know, Randy Orton is that main event guy. But right. To have them lose like that, you know, I don't like it. I mean, yes, it was the main event. Yeah, they tried to build something up, but I just don't see Austin Theory as that mid-card to bottom tier main eventer anymore after that push. It kind of seemed like it got squashed. I don't know what happened. I don't know if Triple H is like, you know, maybe a little bit down the line when you get a little older, we'll put something meaningful, more meaningful on you. I don't know. So it's just like that, and I can't stand any match that Grayson Waller is in.
Right.
It's not his accent. It's just his persona. I just tend to turn the channel or the volume down.
Right.
All right. Staying with WWE, we are moving on to last night's Monday Night Raw. And that was another Raw.
Just saying. I watched that last night.
We all know that. I mean, you're not telling us.
I had to shut it off. Never heard it was pissing me off. I shut it off for a while because that was making me mad. So I went back to it. I just kind of.
She was still on.
I was fast forwarding through that shit.
He went on like a mental rampage and just started taking out the entire locker room and just followed it live.
Yeah,
live PD 2.0. But yeah, we've seen the promo with Seth Rollins and Cody at the beginning. Typical WWE, it seems like nowadays we don't get matches anymore that opening. an opening, 10, 15 minutes, and this seems like it's just a straight up promo. It wasn't anything special.
Right.
It's just two guys being angry at the Bloodline still.
All right.
Then
I said the Bloodline is just the storyline needs to be over, man. Like, just
yes,
be done with it already. Can we figure out what the next move is?
Because yeah, this
Bloodline shit is annoying as fuck. Sorry.
It definitely is. Sorry. It definitely is. We also seen a match between Dominic Mysterio and Gunther. Now, this is a matchup I don't know how I feel about this, because yes, it's given Dom a little bit of a push because it's another championship that he can win. He got put up against a guy in Gunther, and I think that they're gonna try to make this into a decent match. I mean, into something for WrestleMania, maybe. I just don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I don't know if Dom's there just yet to try to take something off of a guy, especially like Gunther. You know, I don't see how he does it. But
then you gotta again, realize who was his uncle?
Well, then again, I was just going to say, too, that it's like Gunther wants something more probably, too. He's already stated that he wants Seth Rollins. So
yeah.
He wants that world heavyweight. So who knows? Especially at Mania.
This is true.
He can lie. Dom can lie, cheat, and steal his way to that championship.
There he can.
So yeah, it was a Gunther submission, and I think that it's going to be hard for Dom if it is something at WrestleMania to get past something like that, because Gunther will either submit Pena, anything. It doesn't matter.
He's
going to
rip your fucking head off and you're going to eat it.
Yes. He's going to rip your arms off and beat you with your own arms. I thought that, especially this being the first match, it wasn't a promo either. Something that I noted was I thought it was pretty cool and classy that WWE went ahead. Didn't mention the company, but congratulated Sting on his retirement on Sunday night.
That was super.
And that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. I mean, like I said, even though they didn't mention the company name or anything like that, I thought that was pretty nice of them to do.
That was really cool how they. I don't like how WWE let him go out. Not gonna lie to you on that. Mm-hmm. I don't like how
WrestleMania 31. That was the worst.
It really bummed me out the way they WWE did it. But I mean, I don't know, man.
But see, so many people wanted that too. They wanted that dream match of the NWO versus DX. They always wanted it as a dream.
Yes,
match.
Yes.
So
yes,
that's why
I
they
still
let
want
run
that.
Interference. That's why they let both factions run interference during that match, but still it was a shitty way for them to go out. I think that was because that was done by Vince. I think if somebody else, like Triple H at the time, was head of creative and still writing, but still wrestling, I think we would have had a different story. I think he would have let Sting go out on top because he had that much respect for Sting. I mean, they both worked for WCW back in the day.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Both did.
Yeah. Yep. Katana Chance and Kayden Carter took on Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler in women's tag team action.
I'm sorry. I don't really like Shayna Baszler either. I don't know. There's just something about her I've never really cared for.
I mean, I liked her when she was getting that push against Becky Lynch.
Yes, against Becky Lynch
during WrestleMania. But even though that was during the COVID era, too.
That was still kind of like...
I think that was probably the peak of her WWE career, was that push right there.
I'm going to agree with you there. Definitely going to agree with you.
It's funny, going off on a little side quest, Becky Lynch has a book that comes out, I think, this month. And you know how Becky Lynch had to vacate her championship that Monday Night Raw after that Mania because she was pregnant.
Yep.
She actually wanted to put Shayna over and give Shayna the championship and have her win at that Mania. Then have it vacated and then have Asuka have to cash in a Money in the Bank contract essentially to win it.
Right.
You had to trade that briefcase in just to get that championship, even though it's already vacated.
Yeah, that was pretty, that's pretty dumb.
So yeah, this was, you know, a decent tag team match. I think they're trying to give Shayna something now. I don't know what it is. They might be pushing her for a women's tag team championship. I mean,
Like,
who
what did I
knows?
say a
That
little bit
women's
ago?
tag division as it is crazy. You don't like tag team, what was it? You don't like big stars and tag teams.
If you're a
Something
big
along those
star,
lines.
let them do them for whatever amount of time period, time frame the fucking storyline is that they're doing. Let them do that and then pull them aside and say, hey, we see a better opportunity over here for you that you may not see right now. Let's try this since you just got done with this. It's not a
Exactly.
demotion and you're not getting demoted. You're actually getting promoted because we want to see more of you.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I think as it is too, that WWE women's tag division is just it's I don't know. It has a lot of, like you said, a lot of big superstars
It's
and a
they're
tag
doing,
team.
I feel like they're doing too much.
I think it's because their women's roster is overpolluted, really, with so many good superstars that they have that they can't find a spot for them in the main event picture because they don't have, you know, that many championship belts. They only have the women's championship and the world women's championship
So
and
why
the tag
not
team championships.
bring at WrestleMania, bring a woman's Intercontinental Championship in or some shit like that?
Dust off the Divas Championship. Bring that back. Do something. I know. It was just a belt.
I mean, that era was cool and all, but let's
Yeah.
just leave
Not
that to
after
rest. Let's just leave
that, not
that one
just
to
that.
rest.
Not just that, but after the Vince shit too. Yeah. Don't bring
Yeah, we're gonna
that one back.
leave all of Vince's shit dead. Sorry, guys. That's how I feel. I still don't know enough about the story. Whatever the fuck. I don't want to dig into it because it's gonna leave a bad taste in my mouth where I'm gonna
Oh,
pro I don't want to step away from wrestling. It's always been a thing in my life that I like, so I'm not gonna read into it because I know it's gonna really like tear me down. Damn
yeah.
cat, what are you doing? You want out, dude?
Next we are moving on to your favorite match of the night by far, probably. You already stated it. Becky Lynch versus Nia Jax.
Nia Jax, Jesus Christ. Like, what the fuck? Can we get rid of her? Why would we bring her back? And that was Vince's doing. Sorry, Nia. Go be at TNA. Go be somewhere else. Just not here. Sorry, bud. You're just not you're not WWE material. Sorry, bud. That's what I
Well,
think. That's my opinion.
not just that, but she has been by multiple people deemed unsafe to work with in the ring because she doesn't care
Who?
about the well-being of her opponent.
But then
I just go
you
ahead,
know
man.
what? No. I'm sticking with this. I was gonna try to branch off and say whatever. No, fuck that. Go somewhere else. You're fired. You're fired.
Yeah, I just don't understand, especially why would you have your top performer, one of your top women's performers, go up against someone who's been known to injure people? Why would you do that before Mania?
Right? That's
Why would you risk
kind of what I was
that?
thinking too. Then again, I just got t she left a bad taste in my mouth a few months back and I stopped giving a shit about Nia Jax. She just needs to be gone, I guess. I don't know.
It's one of those things where they're saying she's improving, but it's like,
She ain't, you know
it's
what?
little,
With you
little.
saying that, I have seen very little. I have seen a little bit of improvement, but I'm just still not. I'm not there for it. So I don't want her here. I don't want her here. Sorry, bud.
Well, I also think too that if you look at it too, when she does like those power, like I don't know what she does when she, it's kind of like the Rikishi bomb almost, where she gets up and she goes down like that. You have noticed that she has started to brace herself a little bit more, so it looks a little bit better. And I think too with her, she has lost a little bit of weight too since she last was in WWE. So now she's
but it's not even the weight thing. Bit, it's just
but it makes it easier for her to control it too.
She's not the most.
But yeah, she's definitely not the most like athletic out there. Definitely.
Go, please. Thank you.
But it's just one of those things too, where she's starting to control it a little bit. But I'd like to see it happen a lot more. But I mean, I'll take a little bit for right now, more than what she was doing.
Right. Absolutely.
Then we've seen the return, pretty much the Monday Night Raw debut of Andrade. He went up against Apollo Crews. I
kept saying I hated Andrade. I hated his name. I hate him. It's not even hate. I just don't like him. He never really hooked me into him. Never really cared for him.
But here's the thing, too. You brought back Andrade. You brought back Naomi. Why did you bring them back? Because Apollo Crews, let's just face it, Apollo Crews was decent maybe about 5-6 years ago. But now it's just like I can't remember like him doing of anything of note besides I think he held the United States Championship for like a minute a few years ago. But other than that, it's like he's not a wrestler that I would go pay money for to see in a match. You know, he's not going to be drawing me to a match. And same with Andrade right now. I think that Andrade, since he was in AEW, they fumbled him there, but then they WWE also fumbled him his first go around. And I think right now no one can get hooked on Andrade. It's just like I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily Andrade's fault. I mean, he's a good performer.
He's pretty good.
I think it's the booking and the creative's fault. They just don't know what to do with him. And then when you don't know what to do with him, the fans don't know how to react to him. I think that's hard.
God damn it. I just dropped the cap. But you are not wrong. That there is why I'm not really interested in seeing him.
Yeah. It's like, I used to be a hell, like when he first debuted on the main roster of WWE, I was like, dude, this dude is freaking awesome, man. He's got some good abilities and stuff like that, because he had a manager. Zelina Vega was his manager.
Yeah.
She was the one that was doing the talking and stuff like that. Then you take her, you know, get rid of her, then you just leave Andrade, and it's just like he was nothing. He can't do shit. He's not that great because he doesn't have the person to talk for him. He has to do his own promos. His promos are in English or so-so, but it's like he doesn't have that fire anymore, because when he had somebody else to help him, like Zelina Vega, to run to interference and things like that, he could set up those big spots.
Right.
But anyways, Andrade ended up defeating Apollo, which was no big surprise, I guess. I mean, I think it was a match that you knew Andrade was probably more than likely going to win, but it just also leaves a feeling of where are they going to move Andrade to? Like, where, you know, what's his trajectory going to be? Is he going to be, you know, competing for that mid-card championship, or if he's just going to be in these matches against the likes of Apollo Crews and all these guys that have been there for years that you don't really hear about anymore?
Right. Side note quick. Fucking R-Truth always had me fucking dying last night, dude. That son of a bitch had me rolling. I'm like, thank you, R-Truth. Thank you for spicing up my Monday Night Raw with your little craziness. Whatever you are doing, whatever, fucking just keep going, bro. Thank you for being as silly as you are for as many years as you have been there. Where's your boy, Little Jimmy? I need to see him now. What?
He told me in the past,
what? Okay. No Judy said beat your ass, so that's what I'm gonna do. I missed that. I loved that segment. That was so fucking hilarious to me.
Yeah, R-Truth, definitely his return to WWE has definitely been a bright spot for sure over these past few months. It was definitely needed. It was needed because like you said, it's hard enough to pay attention to a show, especially Monday Night Raw, that is full of A, promos, and B, it's 3 hours long. And it's just like you have to sit through all that, and it's like you need that shit because it was getting to be a chore. And then when you have R-Truth, you look for those.
I look for the segments. Fun in that shit.
Exactly. And R-Truth just become a
24/7 title. That shit, I was always on the lookout. I'm like, dude, I want that fucking belt. Let me have it for a minute.
Yeah. Well, I've always been a firm believer, especially if you go to any wrestling show whatsoever and you have a championship belt, I say you have to put that on the line right then and there. If someone be like, hey, nice belt, I'm going to fight you for it. All right, I have to defend it.
Yeah, but there's also people who say you need to be in line and earn that fucking right.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the way I am. I'm like, if I got a belt, I busted my ass for 2 years for this fucking belt, you're going to wait your turn and wait in the back of that line just like I did.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, especially, you know, it just amazes me that, like, that R-Truth situation, like R-Truth segments, too. You know, they are all spot on. They are all hilarious. He just knows how to work it, dude. And it's just the highlight of Monday Night Raw.
Excuse me. Sorry, guys.
Going forward, we had the Judgment Day take on Imperium and tag team action. We had Finn Balor and Damian Priest taking on Giovanni Vinci and Ludwig Kaiser. I'm not going to lie. This is probably going to be, maybe going forward, possibly a championship match right here between these two. I think that if done right, especially with both of them having big time names with them, with Gunther being the head of Imperium, and then you have Balor and Priest already big names in the WWE in a tag team together. It's just, I think this has the makings of a decent match for WrestleMania, possibly. And then it also makes sense because you also have Dom taking on Gunther. So it all just makes sense. So I think that the match itself wasn't too bad. I mean, it was a good match for Monday Night Raw, especially from what you just seen with the Andrade and Apollo match. You know, it's definitely a step up from that. But I just think I kind of want to see it again because I don't know what it is. I've been slowly liking Imperium. And I think that they have the chance to probably be the next tag team champions, especially since the Usos are no longer there, you know, the tag team. New Day, they've been getting rocked. They got rocked by Imperium too. So it's just like,
I miss New Day. That was one of my favorite teams as well.
Well, it also sucks too that Big E got injured and there's no timetable on his return because it was a neck injury.
Yeah, it was. It was a big injury and it really bummed me out that he had it. So, or he got it.
Yeah. He was a hell of a champion too, man. He was getting a big ass push too. He was like,
he was getting a big
United push. States champion. I think he was WWE champion at one point in time too.
Because
Xavier Woods is the only one to not win the WWE championship in the New Day.
Fun fact about Xavier Woods, he is a big giant fucking nerd, just like us.
He has a channel too called Up Up Down Down on YouTube.
One more time.
It's just remember the old school cheat code Up Up Down Down Left Right Left Right.
Yep. That was actually one of my favorite fucking YouTube or my favorite cheat codes. Yep. Up Up Down Down Left Left Right Right. Square, square, X, X.
Yep.
Triangle,
Circle,
triangle.
Yeah, triangle.
Yes, some
yep.
shit like that.
Yeah, it was something like that. Oh man, that
what,
just
what was
sounds
that called
right
again?
There.
Because I'm about to, I'm looking it up right now. I'm following.
It's up,
you
up,
me
up,
up,
down, down.
Up, up, down, down. I'm thinking about getting that 2K24 too.
Yeah, that just released, I think today, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm gonna wait until
until I hear reviews on it, until at least it gets its first patch update.
Yeah.
Because we've had a history before of 2K games coming out with anticipation and it being complete dog shit.
I think one of the last biggest games I ever played, it was on like PlayStation, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Old school PlayStation. Hold on, what? When I'm done, yes. Holy crap. Interruption. I'm sorry, guys. No worries. Just the kiddos. I don't even know. Go ahead. I don't even know what I was saying.
Something about something on PlayStation back in the day.
Oh, there was a game. One of my favorite all-time games was on PlayStation. It was one of the best wrestling games I ever fucking played. I think it was Raw versus War.
Yeah, let's say, yeah, that would probably be, yeah. Early,
that was
early
OG PlayStation.
Yes,
old
yes.
School shit, but it was one of my all-time favorites.
SmackDown 2000.
I played, there was another one that I played, and I can't even remember what it was. It was...
You had no mercy for the N64.
Yeah.
That's goated.
That is a goated game. I'm actually looking into getting an N64 lately.
Just for that reason.
That and a couple other games I've been really itching.
Mario Kart 64. Mario Kart 64, that's always a good one. But yes, we are getting off subject right now.
You're fucking me up, okay? Because you know me, I'm a big giant nerd, and all I want to do is play video games. That's all I want to do.
Rainbow Road will fuck you up.
You aim, bud. I don't let these kids win, and I'm not gonna let you win. Let's go. I'm a racer by heart, bro.
Moving on to the next match of Monday Night Raw, we've seen Sami Zayn defeat Ivar of the Viking Raiders, which makes sense because it only makes sense because they have to do something for Ivar since Rowan is out with injury. So,
like how old girl put the fucking headdress on Michael Cole, bro.
Yeah, I seen that. Did you see the picture that he took?
I did. I was sitting here
living out a boyhood dream.
Watching it. Yes.
Oh man, but yeah, I mean, Sami Zayn, he's.
sorry. I just got really good news. Another podcast today, guys. Yes, told you, when everything lines up, dude, it's just coming together. I'm sorry, I'm super excited. My
you're good.
Just got back with me for our show too. So.
Oh, nice! There you go. There you go.
Oh,
congratulations.
Lining up.
Yes, it is.
Like we've been trying to line shit up for the last 3 months, and it just hasn't done.
I just think too with Sami Zayn, we haven't seen a lot of Sami in big time situations. I think that this was a perfect match to see him go up against a big guy like Ivar. Mr. 305 Live himself, because he is a big boy that can go off the top rope and not afraid to go off the top rope. I think it was probably going into where we are at right now with the match wise. I think it was probably one of the better matches of the evening going so far. And that's saying something because Sami Zayn was delivering banger after banger after banger. He was pretty much LA Knight is right now.
Sami Zayn was good. I liked him before the Bloodline bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I don't know, dude. Him.
I liked him after Bloodline a little bit better. When he
I liked
when he
him
face.
Fucking around with Roman, or not Roman. Yeah, Roman Reigns.
Kevin Owen. Oh, if I say what he was used to fuck around with.
I love that he used to make them all fucking break character. Bro, I'd watch shit. and I watch them break all the time, and it made me laugh so fucking much. I'm like, thank you, Zammy, for that. Thank you.
She hasn't been feeling very oozy lately.
Shit, that shit makes me laugh so much, and I don't know, man. He's silly. He's a weird type of silly, but he's
oh yeah, he is. He's Canadian silly. Sorry to anybody that's in Canada listening, but we know that you know you're kind of on the silly side at times. Speaking of Usy, we had Jey Uso going up against Drew McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre is gonna fucking win. I think that's just a fill-in match.
Yeah, I think it is too, because truthfully, they both
3 hours is too long, and I'm sorry. 3 hours is way too fucking long.
If you look at it too, who is McIntyre going up against at Mania? Seth Rollins.
Yeah,
so
why have him on, like, no offense.
Because I love
Drew, the Scottish Warrior, amazing. I've always liked him. Him when he was with Sheamus. What was he with Sheamus? No,
yeah, he was with Sheamus.
He was
with him for like a little bit. They're a tag team for a second.
I like
Banger Bros. Together.
Yes,
they call themselves the Banger Bros. Then WWE got sued by the
yeah
by the website.
That's fucking hilarious. I did not know that. That's so funny.
They got sent a cease and desist. That's why you can't find any of their merchandise in the WWE store.
That's fucking hilarious.
But no, it kind of made sense in a way the match did, because, like I said,
it's just Seth a Rollins.
Seth Rollins has the match against McIntyre, and then the Bloodline has their thing against Rollins as well, with the main event of Monday night. Not Monday night, but night one of WrestleMania. Right. So I don't know if they're trying to build something more towards Mania or what, but I don't think that having two heels going up against each other in your main event of the night was a good thing. But, I mean, like you said, McIntyre, you knew was going to win. So I don't know if this is giving McIntyre like his momentum for Mania or what the deal is, but I think it's going to be something that it's going to be interesting to see what his route towards Seth Rollins is for Mania. So,
right.
Overall, I mean, it wasn't
a bad show, but I'm going to give it a 3.5.
I mean,
out of 5.
3.5. Out of 5. Okay.
Out of 5.
Out of 5. I would probably agree with you.
If I'm going
maybe 10, a 4. Generous.
If I'm going out of
4,
10, but I'll go a solid 5.5, maybe 6.
Yeah.
Maybe, but it's probably like a C minus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give it a solid C. I'm going to give it a solid C.
I would definitely say I think Friday night was a lot better than this Monday night.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I agree.
I would say also that I'd agree with you. Probably a solid, maybe as I'd say about 6, maybe out of 10. So, yeah, in that area. Maybe a 6.5, but that's maybe
I'm gonna say
that's
a
little too generous. Yeah. But I think going forward, I think we're going to see a lot more, especially getting closer to Mania, with these matches being more, hopefully, booked better.
Right.
Because I'm getting tired of some of these matches. Like, it seems like we see the same matches every 3 or 4 weeks, and it's just reshuffled.
This is very
true. We are moving on everything to our
always reshuffled somehow through there. I'm going to send you a podcast that I think you would actually like. I haven't listened to it in a while. It's with Freddie Prinze Jr. Don't know if you knew that he worked for WWE years and years and years.
He was a writer. Yeah, he was on the writing staff.
I didn't know that. And I absolutely fucking love him even more because of that.
He has a show on A&E that's like WWE biographies or something, or something like that. WWE.
Why am I just finding out about this?
He's like one of the hosts.
And did you know? I know another side quest. I'm sorry, Matthew Lillard, the voice of Scooby-Doo, Shaggy, and Scooby-Doo. He is also a big. He's into Dungeons and Dragons, and a bunch. He's everybody that I love are big giant nerds. It
Dude,
makes
there
me
is
even
a
feel better about
dude,
my nerdiness.
did you know that there is a celebrity game? No, there's a celebrity D&D night that is hosted by like a shit ton of comedians
Yep,
and shit.
yep, yep,
Dude,
yep, yep,
yeah.
yep. I've
All right,
watched
I was
it.
about to say, yeah.
I don't remember where I watched it at, but it was fucking amazing.
Dude, and I
That's
had
why I'm a
that
bigger fan of Matthew Lillard.
yeah.
Fun fact, my fiance, we just watched 13 Ghosts for my first time.
Oh wow. Dang.
I don't know, a few months back.
Wow.
And I absolutely fucking loved it.
Yeah, it's definitely a good movie. Definitely a good movie.
I've never seen it. She was like, "Here, let's watch this." I'm like, "What is it?" She
Yep.
told me. Fuck it, let's do it.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely a really good movie and definitely a good performance by Matthew Lillard as well.
Man.
We are moving on to the pretty much the biggest thing that happened in wrestling this weekend, and that is of course AEW's Revolution that happened this past Sunday. And the reason why it was so big is because it was Sting's final match, his retirement match. And we've known before, not we've known before, but we've always known that retirement matches, especially in the last handful of years, have not gone the way that we've wanted them to go. Especially you look like Kurt Angle back at WrestleMania 35, losing to
Not
Baron
gonna lie,
Corbin
I
on his
didn't
way
care
out.
that he fucking retired. Truthfully, I didn't really care for him. Not
But
gonna
it's just
lie.
like, you know, the retirement match. You know, you kind of want them to go out on top. You know, if you did, if it was invested, if you were invested into it or whatever. And it's just like, I am glad that we are able to do that now. You know, spoiler for, I mean, it's been Sunday, but if you're just now realizing this, spoiler, you know, yep, they did retain. So, but we are going to talk about
I'm
things in
glad they
order.
sent him out on
As a
top.
champion,
Like
yeah, I
I
am too.
fucking said, send him out on top. He's on top of the world. That's how you let him go. You don't bury him
Exactly.
into the fucking ground. Sorry, WWE fans. That's what they did. They buried him into the fucking ground. You don't send him.
But then
It's just like The Undertaker. I don't feel like they let him go out right either. Truthfully, I wish it would have been like two giant fucking stars. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's understandable. Yeah, I mean, I think they did fumble it on The Undertaker big time, but I don't know who they were trying to have in mind to be that guy. I mean, I know everybody wanted it to be Sting,
It
and
should have been Sting. They should have paid Sting any type of fucking money. Like, "Hey, bro, come back, beat the Taker. This is how he is gonna, or even lose to the Taker. This is how he's gonna go out. It's okay that you lose. Who cares? You'll come back out next year and
He's a
fucking
Hall of Famer
dominate."
anyways.
Yeah, who cares?
It's like, I think that if they did have something of like that match, I think that they would have if it wasn't for one man, Brock Lesnar.
I'm sorry, like I don't like
Because
that
he
he.
beat the streak. He beat the streak, and I think that that streak
Fun
was still
fact,
intact. It would have been.
he was pissed off that he had to break that.
Yeah, he
He
was.
was so pissed.
I think I heard rumor has it that no one told Paul who was winning that match, and that was really Paul Heyman's natural reaction.
Sorry, I'm
The
sure you
only
know
people that
that.
knew the results was the ref, The Undertaker, and Brock. Those are the only ones that were aware of the result.
Brock
He
was
was
so
not
pissed
involved.
off that he had to break that streak.
Oh
I
yeah,
like
I
Brock
would have been too.
Lesnar. He was a, "I'm gonna come in here, I'm gonna get shit done, and I'm gonna leave because y'all paying me to do my job." That's exactly what he did. Come in, did his job, and got the fuck out.
Exactly.
Why are you mad at a dude that is gonna do that, taking care of his family, got all them acres of land up there in Canada, wherever the fuck, which that's smart. So he's out there doing his thing. Who cares? He come into work, did his job, went the fuck home. Plain and simple. That's all you got to do.
Okay, that's all. That is all, really. I mean,
don't stir up the pot. But I do sometimes.
Oh man. We had a few of pre-show matches.
Sting, I am thinking about getting a Scorpion just for you though, bud.
Oh dang. And
if I was to ever meet him, I'd want him to sign it underneath it. Because he was one of the ones that I always liked, but like he was dark, mysterious. I was like, what's gonna happen with him? The red, the black, the white paint, the colored paint when he first started.
Yeah, Surfer Sting.
There's very rarely of a time that you've seen him without face paint. Yeah. It wasn't very rare you'd see him without face paint.
Or sunglasses if he didn't have the face paint.
Exactly.
Yep.
I can't do this. The beard
the,
thing.
The little goatee that he had, like the little landing strip.
I can't
strip
do
type.
It because then yeah. I got to take off my whole beard. But I like that. That was like always. Yeah,
he made it work. Cool. He made it work.
That's why this is like a billion inches long.
Yeah, it's with Sting. You know, he had. For me, especially since when I was a kid, I used to, like I said, I mentioned this many times before, I used to watch WCW more than I watched WWE growing up.
Yep.
And
my mom would always try to push me away from it, but I'm like, nah, the Four Horsemen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you had Sting, and then you had who else was in there? Yeah, you mentioned the Four Horsemen. That made up a lot of it.
I got an old picture.
Hogan was also over there.
Yeah. Jeff, the yellow.
Then you had Razor Ramon, Scott Hall.
Stop aging me, motherfucker. Stop it.
You had all these old WWE guys, too, that were over there. And it was just like, you know, it was awesome for me because I had never seen them in their heyday until they came to WCW and actually wrestled a little bit. I mean, yeah, you've seen Scott Hall and all that on WWE before, but it was like
my dad. I'm pretty sure my dad and my stepdad could talk to you about any fucking old school wrestler. My dad's been trying to get on here. My stepdad, we were talking actually a couple of days ago about this segment I'm going to try to throw together for him and bring him on, you know, like we were talking about. But guys,
exactly.
We do have an announcement. Vogel, I just kind of threw this together. Sometime soon, we're going to have a guest on. I don't know when, don't know what. I just don't know yet about the little deets, but we are going to have a guest. I'm pretty excited for that. So.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome. So going back to AEW's Revolution, we had a lot of matches in the pre-card. That was one of the matches. Was a you like this one, Face? This is right up your alley. A 12-man tag match.
You already know how I feel about even a 3-man tag. I'm out. You already got my attention out. I'm already looking over here. I'm not for it.
Well, luckily we just did results for this one. Well, anyways, it was a 12-man tag match between the Bang Bang Scissor Gang.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hold it in me. The Bang Bang Scissor Gang.
Well, they ended up defeating Jeff Jarrett, Jay Lethal. I still can't make it past that now.
The Bang.
Anyways.
Bang Bang Sugar Gang.
I Scissor Gang.
I'm gonna call it Bang Bang Sugar Gang.
Well, Jesus, I mean, the Bang Bang Scissor Gang consists of Austin and Colton Gunn, Jay White, the Acclaimed, and Mr. Ass himself, Billy Gunn. they defeated the team of Jeff Jarrett, Satnam Singh, Jay Lethal, Private Party, and Willie Mack in a 12-man tag match. I can't do that. I can't, like you said, you can barely do, you know.
I can barely do
a normal tag match. Next match of the pre-show, we've seen Willow Nightingale and Chris Statlander take on AEW's TBS champion Sky Blue, not Sky Blue, but Julia Hart and Sky Blue. It was actually a surprise for me that Nightingale and Statlander defeated Hart and Sky Blue because of the simple fact that Hart and Sky Blue were getting pushed for so long. I think that this is possibly setting up something between Statlander and Hart for a rematch of that TBS championship, because Hart did beat her for it. So we'll see if she can hang on to it, if that is the case. Decent match. I mean, I would have liked, I mean, there was a reason why I was on the pre-show. I mean, it was all right. It was an average match. Nothing to really get your attention or go crazy about. Then the first and opening match of the actual opening match of the night, we've seen everybody's favorite father and father of the year, Christian Cage, the TNT champion, successfully retain his championship against Daniel Garcia.
I'm kind of tired over the Christian Cage bullshit.
I think this is just a filler. I think when Edge does get healthy again, I think that they are going to have him take the championship for good off of Christian. Because, I mean, nothing against Daniel Garcia. Daniel Garcia, he has become a really good wrestler in these past 2 years at AEW. But I think that especially if the belt changes from Christian to Edge, I think that would be crazy, because, you know, it'd just be almost like a storybook ending almost. But I don't know. I'm getting tired of it too, in a way, this entire storyline with Christian. I think that I like it. I like his persona and I hate it at the same time. It's just like he gets the heel heat, but then some of the stuff he says, it's like, yeah, you probably can do without saying that, you know. But going forward, it's going to be interesting to see who comes up next for Christian Cage. We don't know, especially with a lot of things going on in that roster right now, not just dealing with injuries, but suspensions and things of that nature.
Right.
You don't know what's going to happen. And I think that, you know, Daniel Garcia is probably their best chance of actually putting together a good match for that championship. And it was, like I said, it was a decent match. I'm glad that, I mean, I'm not glad with the result, but who else are you going to give it to, you know?
Yeah, no.
Who is worthy enough to win it? And here's one that actually surprised me. Was for the Continental Crown Championship match. That was between Eddie Kingston and Bryan Danielson. And if you remember correctly from last week's episode, I actually picked Bryan Danielson to come out on top and win three championships. And I was actually really surprised, because I just don't like the way that AEW books Eddie Kingston. There's no disrespect on him as a performer or as a with a microphone cutting a promo. I love Eddie Kingston. I am an Eddie Kingston fan. But I figured for sure the way he's been booked and the way he's had some of these losses, that I thought for sure that he was going to lose to Bryan Danielson. But I figured it would have been a decent... I mean, it was a great match, I thought. And even for Kingston to get that handshake from Danielson, like they agreed on as a stipulation, just made it even more better at the end, I think. And I've been hearing a lot of people saying that this is an early candidate for match of the year already.
No, can't do match but of the year already. It's a.
I know. I'm just saying though. There's a lot of people are saying that's how good it was. But like you said, it's March. There's gonna be a match, probably even at Mania, that might top it. Who knows? But as of right now, I mean, yeah. I mean, it was a hell of a match. I mean, I wouldn't put it at match of the year just yet, but it was definitely a hell of a match. But yeah, I think with
you can't give a match of the year yet, dude. And sorry to AEW.
Oh, no, you can't.
I don't know, but I'm gonna be honest. I don't know where AEW is going now. I can't tell you because I don't know. I'm curious because to see where it's gonna go. Yes.
Is because I think they need it. It all revolves around booking, honestly. Because you're not booking, you're not giving people the TV time, the screen time that you need. You think because you have other outlets of doing that, such as their YouTube channel and other things of that nature, that you're going to get a lot of people viewing in. That's not the case. A lot of people, yeah, they watch YouTube, but they're not going to sit there and watch, you know, a kickoff show on YouTube for an hour. You know, they're not
going to
do that.
Yeah, plus, I won't. I'm not going to.
Exactly. It's like you just look at it and they have like other weekly episode, like weekly wrestling shows on there, or at least they did. I don't know if they still do, but they used to have like AEW Dark, which was like almost like an hour and a half long. It's like, no, that's just stupid. Why would you do that? Why couldn't you have done that or built it into your Time Warner contract? When you signed with Time Warner and TBS and TNT, why couldn't you find the time slot there? TNT, TBS, they ain't doing nothing but running Big Bang Theory reruns. I mean, come on.
That show's fucking annoying, to be honest.
Exactly.
I think I've watched it maybe.
You could have had a time slot there. 8 o'clock. Boom. You freed something up. But it's just like. Yeah, but going back to the match, it was a decent. It was pretty damn good. Oh, there we go. We're having technical difficulties once more.
It's okay. It's right, been kind
of. Our next match we had on the fritz a little bit, yeah. We had an all-star 8-man scramble match to determine a future shot at the AEW World Championship. I told you going into
this. I did not watch that. I'm not going to. I did not watch that. I'm not going to lie.
I thought it was going to.
You can take the reins.
I knew it was. I told you guys last week that it was going to come down to, I thought, two people, in my opinion, Wardlow and Hook. And I ended up my prediction saying that it was going to be Wardlow. Because of the fact that Adam Cole said that he wanted the AEW championship, but since he's injured, Wardlow's going to take it and bring it back for him. And it's going to be something to see going forward, especially with him in a match against Samoa Joe coming in the near future. But Wardlow ended up defeating Dante Martin, Chris Jericho, Magnus, Lance Archer, Powerhouse Hobbs, Hook, and who else was the last one? Brian Cage to earn that spot for a future championship. I'm not a big fan, especially of like that type of situation, like that stipulation where you just have a whole bunch of wrestlers in there, like, all right, fight for having a number one contender spot. I don't, especially when you already know that Chris Jericho, he might have been the first AEW champion, but he's not gonna get it now. He's too old. Then you start looking at other people that are on the list. You know, Dante Martin. He's in a tag team. He's not gonna go on singles by himself. Magnus, nope. Lance Archer, washed up from TNA.
Where's Mr. Powerhouse Anderson Hawks, at?
Nope. Mr. Anderson.
Did he really?
Yeah, damn, he's retired. He's on TikTok.
I didn't know he retired. TikTok. Get the fuck out.
It's not a verified account, but it's like his personal account because it has videos of him and his wife and shit. Yeah.
Very neat.
Yep.
Hey, how about we bring how let's somehow get him up to come up here on here.
That's pricey.
No, just be like, hey, look, we're a low ass budget. We're two guys. Throw him a story.
We need sheesh donations. But yeah, that, I mean, who knows? That could be pretty cool. That'd be pretty cool though. Have him on here. You got me thinking.
Hey, the worst he can say is, nah, I'm not interested. All right, cool, thank you.
Well, I know he's doing like I know he's doing like a wrestling school. He's doing like a wrestling school right now, so
I see.
It was like a video on TikTok Live of like him and somebody. But we have moved on to the AEW International House of Pancakes Championship match between Orange Cassidy and Roderick Strong. I honestly, this is another one in which I didn't predict right. I said that Orange Cassidy was going to retain, and Roderick Strong ended up defeating Orange Cassidy for the championship. I think what really made it of note was at the end where we seen Kyle O'Reilly coming into the ring, and we didn't know if Kyle O'Reilly was going to be like, hey, welcoming and stuff like that, because they were former tag team partners and all that with Adam Cole when they were the Undisputed Era in WWE, and they didn't know if it was going to be like a swerve where O'Reilly would turn or whatever. But nope, they ended up hugging it out at the end, and I think that he also got probably an offer to join the Undisputed Kingdom. So who knows? We might be seeing Kyle O'Reilly in there, part of the Undisputed Kingdom now.
Right.
But going forward, it's going to be interesting because I think that they want to make the Undisputed Kingdom like their biggest faction right now, especially with especially what they're doing everything that Adam Cole said that they're gonna do. And that was, so far they got the international championship with Roderick Strong. That was his goal, was to get that. Now you got someone with Wardlow going after the AEW championship. So they're doing everything that they promised that they're gonna do. So it's gonna be interesting to see if AEW does pin that championship on Wardlow, because I think that would probably be the death of the company if you did that, honestly. Nothing against Wardlow, but no one knows who he is. I mean, nobody outside of like AEW really knows who he is. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Next match of the night, we had FTR going up against Jon Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli of the Blackpool Combat Club. There's a little fitting tribute in Blackpool Combat Club's entrance that they did that night. And that was with them wearing the Road Warriors style shoulder pads to the ring. We've seen Moxley and Castagnoli defeat FTR, and I think that was a good match. Did everything that they were supposed to do. It just really, really Moxley style match, let's just put it that way.
Right.
Moving on, we had the women's championship match between Deonna Purrazzo and Timeless Toni Storm.
So you know more about
I'm getting
kind
of old to Toni Storm. I mean, I know her gimmick's supposed to be like this. Oh, we cut out there for a second. All right.
It's still
looks
on.
Like it's back up and going. All right.
Technical
difficulties. Yeah, because I started cutting out the audio for a second. You gotta love it. But
how we gotta do it
I think that this gimmick with Toni Storm's, I think Toni Storm's gimmick's getting a little old. I would love to see a new AEW champion, AEW women's champion, maybe in your future. Maybe it's gonna be Purrazzo, but as of so. It looks like we're going to have to stay with Toni Storm for another while. I think that going forward, though, I think we need someone like Thunder Ponderosa to take over. and Tony Storm. Had to go and throw back there.
Jesus Christ.
We had our next match. Will Ospreay made his AEW debut against Takeshita. And it was probably, besides the main event, definitely the match of the night. Ospreay defeated Takeshita. It's nice to see these guys fight and actually fight to where the audience once more, and they're chanting fight forever. You know, it's awesome to see that. I think that, especially with Will Ospreay coming into AEW, I think he boosts the men's roster up tenfold, especially with Omega out with injury, with no timetable to come back. And it's cool because we actually got to see two New Japan pro wrestlers, former New Japan pro wrestlers, just go at it. And I think it was something that a lot of us haven't seen here in the States, especially because not a lot of us pay attention to New Japan and don't know who they are. But this was a good way to see it, was with these guys right here.
Right.
It's just going to be something to look forward to in the future, too, because to see where, if this follows up with the rivalry or not, especially with Takeshita being in the Don Callis family. And then we are moving on to the AEW World Championship Fatal 3-Way between Hangman Adam Page, Samoa Joe, and Swerve Strickland. Joe ended up retaining. Thought it was going to be something that we were going to see a change. I thought we were going to see a change for sure, especially like I said with Twisted Metal Season 2 supposed to be filming soon. I didn't like it though.
It may change eventually, but like we were talking about it the other day, and I said he might keep it, he may get rid of it, or whatever. But right now, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. I don't know. Like, I'm thinking. I don't know.
But it's crazy because Swerve Strickland was getting this huge ass push just a few weeks ago, even a month ago. And now for him to get like that taken away from him by losing to Joe, I just wonder where that's going to go. Like, where's that headed towards?
What is going on, guys? Sorry about that. We had some technical difficulties. Unfortunately, right now it's just me, Vogel, ending this episode off. But the one thing that I wanted to go over before we ended the episode was Sting's final match. And that was the main event of AEW Revolution. I think it was a great way to send him out. I think Face and I both agreed earlier on in the episode that we liked how they sent Sting out as a champion. Unfortunately, that does mean that Darby Allin has to vacate the AEW Tag Team Championships, and we don't know who's going to be in contention for that, but we should be finding that out within the next week or so. I am currently watching AEW Dynamite at the time of recording this little bit, so hope that it goes well. Hopefully we'll get some more information regarding that pretty soon. Anyways, I think the biggest thing that people are also taking away from the match is Darby Allin's glass spot. And, I mean, Darby, he's a high flyer. He's going to take those risks. Even the likes of Mick Foley said that he's really got to stop taking these bumps and these spots like he's been doing, because he won't last another 10 years or 5 years in the ring. And I kind of agree with it, but, you know, for Sting's final match, I think it needed something, a big, you know, a big finish, a big way to end the match. And I think that that was perfect the way it happened. And I heard that they also had an alternative finish already planned just in case something bad was to happen and medical was needed to come out. The Young Bucks already, they already talked about it backstage, and they already knew what was going to happen if that was to come and play. So it was good to see that they did have a backup plan for that. I imagine it would have been the Bucks winning the Tag Team Championships. But I'm glad, like I said, that Sting and Darby were able to go out on top for Sting's final match. I like how AEW sent Sting out rather than how WWE sent Sting out. It just felt like the WWE, they were trying to, let old ratings wars and stuff take over how they finished that match with Triple H and Sting. And it just felt like that's what they were doing it for. This match at AEW, I felt like it was more of like a celebration of his entire career, pretty much, because he finished it undefeated in AEW. I mean, yeah, all those were tag matches, just about. But he helped put over Darby Allin, who was one of the pillars of AEW, besides MJF, Britt Baker, and Jack Perry. I think that it's good to see that he was working with him too. It's just going to be interesting to see how Darby goes forward too, if he still, follows what Sting taught him, or if he is going to keep taking those high chances. It's going to be also interesting to see if Sting stays around AEW behind the scenes a little bit to help maybe train, to help these younger kids that are a little bit more greener take all these bumps and help train them get better in the ring. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if he's like fully retired or what. So that is all for this week's episode. I just thought I would come in and just discuss that last match with everybody. And yeah, so go ahead, like us on Facebook, follow actually Face on Twitch game Twitch at Twitch TV, Twitch.tv, I should say, / Face Gaming _13. And then you can find us on Facebook at Official Jobber Club Podcast. We hope that you guys have a great rest of your week, and we'll be back sometime next week. Peace.